Moving on to action item number 10, discussion and possible action on Lake Granbury Dam improvements for private activity bonds. John Hawes again.
Again, Mr. Chairman, this is an action item. As many of y'all remember, again, back in July when we presented the budget, we have a project that we've actually started at Lake Granbury at the De Cordova Bend Dam in doing some significant improvements to the dam, including repainting the tainter gates and ultimately fixing the low flow facilities and stuff. It's about between a $6 and $7 million project that we've already begun the preliminary parts undertaking. And it was anticipated that we would issue bonds to pay for that particular project at the time. And this is what this item is actually the debt resolution to authorize the issuance of those bonds. We are in a, since that time, of course, we're in sort of an unusual economic situation, as we all know, and the bond market is, I guess it's safe to say, Stephen Adams, by the way, is back here as our financial advisor, and Mark Malvo is also here, who represents our bond council, and they certainly can answer some detailed questions about this. But we recognize, and I was just talking to Stephen about what the bond market is like at this point, and it is a little bit disrupted, to say the least. But at the same time, we think it's appropriate to go ahead and get the authorization from the board, if you all agree to issue these bonds. If for some reason that doesn't make sense as we get closer to that point, we certainly will not do so. But at this point, what has happened in this particular bond issuance, these are a little bit different. These are called private activity bonds. Because Lake Granbury has some of its revenue source comes from utility industry, a private industry, the issuing tax-exempt bonds for improvements at Lake Granbury, and this same thing would apply at Possum Kingdom Lake as an example. When you go to issue tax-exempt debt, there's a limitation. The government limits the amount of tax-exempt debt you can issue on a state-by-state basis, and you have to apply for a cap, what's called a state cap, from the state of Texas to get those bonds. We have done that. We have received authorization to issue these bonds on a tax-exempt basis. That also puts a time limit associated with when you can issue the bonds. And we would actually have to issue these bonds by December. Well, actually, you have to close the deal, I believe, Stephen, by January the 15th, I believe, is you have to close the bond sale. But if for some reason we don't think that's in our best interest, we could pass on that, not issue the bonds, and could reapply for the cap money at a later date. But we're certainly monitoring the environment, but we believe at this point, and bringing it for y'all's discussion and possible action, the resolution to issue these bonds. What we're talking about is $6.8 million in bonds, which the net proceeds after we establish a reserve fund and also pay the cost of issuance would yield us the $6 million that we would need to complete this project over the next 2 years or so. Any questions? Yes.
Just for clarification, this bond is for our own use rather than being an intermediary for someone else?
Yes, sir. So it is for our own use, and in fact, it will reimburse us. I've already put in place what's called a reimbursement resolution because we've already begun this project. It'll reimburse us some of the costs that we've already expended and then pay the future costs as those occur. So, yes, it is our debt, our water supply system revenue debt that we have.
What about the timing? If it's not a good time to try to issue bonds, what's our alternative?
Well, the alternative, if it's not good, is probably to not issue the bonds and to look at this again. And I believe the next time, I guess you can apply, Stephen, for private activity cap money at any time. I know October is the normal time, but you could apply for it at any time. And assuming you could receive it, and we've been pretty successful over the years of getting that money being available.
I'm an alternative in case we don't issue a bond. Are we taking this out of our?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. We will take it out of reserves, and we do have the money to do so. I mean, you saw that we had before. We had $43 million at the end of the year in reserve, so we do have money. But we do have some other projects, too, in addition to this, that don't lend themselves to bond financing as well as this project does. And so that's why our plan was to issue debt for this, to not issue it for some other projects that we have this year. So we'd prefer to do that if we can.
And is this a revenue bond or just full faith and credit of our own budget?
It's a revenue bond. It's the water supply system revenue bond, and it's guaranteed by the net revenues of the water supply system that we have for the entire system. It is not a contract revenue bond, which we issue from time to time under cost reimbursable contracts, which is the full faith and credit usually of another customer, such as Temple Belton, such as the raw water line we have, such as SWATS as an example. Those are revenue, those are contract revenue bonds. That's not what this is. This is the water supply system and the Brazos River Authority's credit.
Just one more question. With the black eye that all the rating agencies have gotten over the last several months, who's rating us, and has it affected us at all? I mean, the credibility of S&P and everybody else is just not there anymore.
Yes, absolutely. Great question. The rating agencies we've used in the past, primarily the two we've used, have been S&P and Moody's. Of course, they have come under a lot of fire. Stephen, you might I might ask him to address that, because he's a lot more familiar with that environment and what's lately happened there.
Hi, I'm Stephen Adams with First Southwest Company, and from the perspective of rating agencies in particular, of course they've been under scrutiny, and in fact that was a subject of some hearings in Washington, D.C. last week. However, for the most part, none of that was related to the public finance sectors of those businesses. And in fact, you have recently been upgraded by Standard & Poor's because of the strength of your financials, and as you saw today, they're even getting stronger. How you have been impacted is that prior to this issue, we have been able to buy bond insurance, which was AAA rated. There really right now is not a bond insurance option, because while there are some highly rated bond insurance companies, their debt does not trade as good as that of the Brazos River Authority's water supply system revenue bonds. How that has impacted you further is, as John mentioned, we have to fund a cash reserve fund with this bond issue. We have been buying insurance policies so that we don't borrow money at 5.5% and reinvest it at 2.5%. We no longer have that option. So this particular bond issue does have a cash-funded reserve fund, which is the largest way that you've been impacted directly by what's been going on around you.
And is it a one-for-one cash reserve?
The cash reserve is approximately 10% of the size of the bond issue. Yes, sir.
What's the interest we project we're going to have to pay on this issuance?
If we had done it last week, we would have been right at 5.9%. Now, interest rates for after the bailout, it was about 2 weeks before any political subdivisions in Texas issued bonds. And when they first issued them, it was the school districts that had the PSF guarantee. And when they were coming out, the interest rates for those were north of 6%. And we've seen interest rates come down dramatically in the tax-exempt market since that time. My hope is that as the election passes and as more volume occurs in the tax-exempt market, that interest rates will, in fact, come down. It's being largely supported only by retail investors right now. So the yields have gone up. I will say, though, the days of us being able to sell 20, 30-year bonds at 4.5% are probably behind us for quite some time.
So you're telling us it's best case it's going to start with a 5, and it could be worse than that?
It could be. I'm hoping we can get in the, you know, under 6% range. It kind of depends on what happens between now and December. And our, you know, our option, if the bond market isn't good, is really to delay. I think there will be a market. The question is, what will the interest rates be?
Have we done any kind of sensitivity analysis at what point in terms of interest rates we ought to hold off on the issuance and dip into reserves? What does that tell us?
Well, what we had done in the past is, as John mentioned, this particular project, since it's a pure water supply project for some of the lakes themselves, really lends itself to being more of a debt issuance project. And I don't, you know, we were running interest rates at 5.5%, but for $6.8 million, particularly with the additional revenues that you have coming in, I don't think that it's going to be a budget impact at all, unless we get, you know, if we start getting north of 7%, I think we would clearly ask to delay the bond issue. But even if we get 6 and 6.5, it shouldn't be a a budget impact for the authority.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about the yield or the cost to us, or is that the tax equivalent yield?
That's the cost to you. It's not a tax equivalent yield, and these bonds would be taxable to AMT customers.
Not tax-free.
They're tax-exempt unless you're subject to AMT, which makes it a little different than a school district tax-exempt or a pure tax-exempt, as we call it. So it's a little bit higher interest rate than if we didn't have to go through this process of getting a piece of the state allocation because of the end users.
I noticed that the issuance cost is about $325,000. And what is that? And we're not paying an insurer. So is that the cost to sell them, basically?
Yes. You know, I think the issuance cost, direct issuance costs are usually around or below 1%. And the majority of that is financial advisor, bond counsel, and rating agencies. There are also some ancillary costs like paying the attorney general's office and paying agent and registrar.
Have you all looked at a private placement for these bonds? Save some cost in that respect?
Yeah, the biggest buyers in that private placement market have by and large been the big banks. For a bank, this is taxable. So I think the best market for this will be going to the public markets. Also, the big banks that used to buy a lot of debt have been cutting back lately and just simply not buying municipal bonds like they have in years past. That is something we continue to monitor to see if there's a market there. We talk to the banks. But to date, for this issue, this doesn't lend itself for the kinds of things that have been sold on a private placement basis.
Can these be issued as callable bonds?
These bonds are expected to have a 10-year call on them. We're potentially going to look for shorter calls, but right now, the more you shorten that call, you really pay for it in interest rate. Anything you do that's away from the norm right now has a dramatic increase in the cost compared to what it did, say, 3 or 4 months ago.
John, I have one more question. Said if we approve this today, and I don't know, it would have to go on sale in December, you'd say, and be completed by January 15th. So you have about a 30-day window to determine.
Right. Most likely, and Stephen, again, correct me, the pricing of this would need to be sometime in latest, probably in early December, to be able to close. And
early to mid. Is that he's the one that has to deal with the Attorney General's office.
Okay.
So you're looking at a 30 to 35 day window to try and determine.
Correct, to be able to evaluate whether this, and if rates, it says, the way I look at it, and Stephen and I'll be in close communications and talking about this, of course, you know, if rates end up going up much above what we're looking at right now, it may not make sense to issue these at this time. I fully recognize. I was just wanting to get the flexibility to be able to do that. But we're going to look at that for sure and determine. I mean, we certainly would like to issue them because given the other projects we have coming up, we could use, it was projected, we could need the funds for that. But given the change in the environment, it might not be the best thing to do. Yes, sir.
John, would it make sense for us to, while we're analyzing the basis for a public issuance, to also investigate a private placement? Familiar with some buyers that are not big banks that might be an alternate, and I don't know if this resolution calls for that, but if it could, that would be wise, I think, to do that. Okay. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. And I guess the question would be, Mark, maybe what kind of a different – yes, I don't believe this resolution calls for that, but would cover something like that would be a different resolution if we ended up going that way. Is that correct?
Mark Malvo, the Paul Parkinson Board. The resolution simply supports the parameters by which the bond deal will be issued. So it sets forth the maximum amount of the issuance, the interest rate that will be used, and it delegates to the officers the ability to execute the documents to finalize the transaction. So if there is a
Let's ask John. John, Director Ball asked, you know, do we need to put a cap on what we would pay as an interest rate, or how?
To give y'all direction.
You certainly could to basically cap out. Let me ask Mark how that would affect the resolution as it's written, or how that would work. The
resolution does have a cap on it. It's a cap that just for purposes of setting some parameters. The cap that stated not greater than 10%. Now, of course, they wouldn't. Your officer stating you that wouldn't be the case, but that's what we have in the resolution right now.
Does anybody? Yes.
Would it impact the marketability of the bonds if we put a cap at 7% instead of 10?
Just a second. Let me ask the. Very good point. We could certainly do it. Stephen just said. Obviously, boards put caps on them all the time.
Yeah, so I just want to know if that impacts the marketability at that level.
That cap is located in Section C of
the resolution. Director Brady had asked about, would it impact the marketability of the bonds if we put a cap?
No, the only thing that it would impact is that if we can't reach that cap or attain the interest rate in the cap, is that the delegation is not effective and the documents can't be signed by the pricing officers. So, but it doesn't impact the marketing. It just means we couldn't market it if we can't get there.
Okay. John, what does your sensitivity analysis tell you? Is 6.75 the number? Is 7 the number? What's the number?
Stephen, what? What thing? Because obviously, like I said, it's 10%. We would just change that number in there. But yeah, what would be the number you'd recommend?
Like I said, we'd be under 6% today, and the question becomes if we can't get below, say, 6.75, and it means that we would come back to this board and perhaps reauthorize this and hope and reevaluate at that time. What that would mean is that we would likely have to reapply for the cap, which sometimes is hard because there are often more people that want to use that cap than not, but I would think right now the volume is so low that I wouldn't view that as a big risk. So from my perspective, if we were probably at 6.75, we probably wouldn't do it anyway. We'd have to come back to the board again to get further authorization to move ahead. So I don't see an issue with the 6.75.
Well, Chairman, there's a lot more financial expertise on this board than I have, but I agree with Director Ball. I don't know that I can vote for authorizing the issuance of 10% debt, and I think in today's market we ought to give staff some guidance. Certainly there are people on this board that have a better number than I would.
What I would suggest we do is we'll read the resolution into the record, and if anyone wants to make a motion to amend, we'll go with that fashion. I'll leave that open to the director. So,
can I ask one more question, please? We've got a lot of reserve. Are they in CDs in the banks and what have you? Can we not for a year borrow against CDs and then go back to the marketplace?
We do have a lot of money in reserves. A lot of it is actually in a fair amount of it's in liquid deposits. But
you could buy a CD and get it 2% above the CD rate. I don't know what CDs are. Or just borrow from
just
ourselves.
Use the cash. I mean, we're getting
well. I mean, the assumption is you didn't spend it. I mean, and that's what we're looking at is does it make sense? We just saw before on the investment side, we're looking at maybe maximizing 2 or 3% to invest that money, and yet we're turning around and borrowing it at six and a half, and that obviously doesn't sound like the best idea, and that's why we're debating. Well, what's the number? I think Director Brady was asked, what's the number from sensitivity that you wouldn't go above that? And I think probably 6.5 or even something. We said 6.75, but I'm not even thrilled about 6%, to be honest with you. But
this is a 20-year funding?
This is probably a 30. Is it
30?
25.
Obviously, you know, no one knows that. But, I mean, in the short term, would it not make sense to borrow from ourselves, if you will, or use reserves to get us to a more stable bond market?
Agreed.
We could certainly do that.
What does that do to the other projects, the opportunities for the other projects?
Well, that's a good question. We do have the other large project that we have that we're looking at is our SWATS, is some of the rehab of our SWATS facility. We could still make good. I mean, we as you looked here in the results this last year produced a surplus that we didn't that we added another $3 million to our reserves that we didn't have. So we do have a surplus even greater than we thought we were going to have. So some of that certainly could be used toward that. It depends. We're not exactly sure what the timing is at this point on the SWATS project as far as how quickly we would need to do some of the expansion of that plant or the capacity of that plant. But that's the other major expenditure that we're faced with at this point. Now, we have one other. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Yes. John, as I understand, basically this project lends itself to this type of financing, long-term financing.
Yes, sir.
Whereas some other project that we might engage in may not have the same characteristics that would make it ideal for this type of financing.
Yes, sir.
So it's a cash flow situation as much as anything. Make sure that we don't use reserves that might be needed for something else.
That's right. That's right. It was just a function. Certainly when we did the budget and we were thinking about when debt was under 5%, that it seemed to make sense to borrow for this project and from that standpoint. But now that it's above that, it's reached a level to where there's some question to say, well, is it how much is it worth it at that particular point? Because clearly it'll cost us more, the financing. So,
but in our planning of this project, how much will we spend of that $6 million over the next year or 2 years?
We're going to spend, we've already let the contract with the firm to do the majority of the tanner gates. The majority of it will be spent in this next year, in this next fiscal year, with the remainder in the following fiscal year.
What I'm looking for Jennifer, there, let's see if the board's comfortable. Go to where it says 10%.
Yes, next slide.
One more. I'll pick a number. We'll plug that number next, in and then read.
Next slide.
Next slide is section.
Still the next slide.
Under C.
It's under C. Yeah, one more
right,
slide.
Next slide. There we are.
Next one.
It's right about in.
There it is right there.
There it is.
There you are.
So what is kind of the consensus? I'm sorry?
No.
I'm just saying. Some of our more financially savvy members, what is your thinking would be a.
Chairman, I have one additional question for John. John, you referenced it. Bonds would be capable of reimbursing some expenses that we've already taken on. How long can we extend that process before issuing the bonds to also reimburse expenditures that have already taken place?
I believe that process is 18 months, I believe, is however, after the completion of the project. So we've got
we have some time before we have to issue.
We have quite a bit of time to be able to reimburse ourselves from that standpoint.
So we could wait until the completion of the project to.
John, what do you think in terms of how comfortable do you feel that?
Well, I feel like
different
that,
in the short term.
I feel like after this discussion, and I always felt like as Stephen was talking about that the rates at around 6%, I was looking for them certainly to be down in the 5% before I felt like it would make sense to do it. If it gets above 6%, I don't feel like it makes a lot of sense. I think we can get through the period of time we've got enough money to do that. But if they got down back in the even the mid-fives, I don't know if that's practical in this short a time frame. That may be impractical, that it might make sense, but above 6%. Is that too, or is it worth passing a resolution at that
no,
number?
No, I think, the market's been rallying. I would hope that we could get in the 5%, but once it starts getting away, say it may be years, who knows if rates are going to come back. There's a lot of money being put into the economy, and that typically leads to inflation. So, but, within a window of 6 months, that's probably not going to happen.
I just have one question. Did I not hear you make the comment earlier that if you went up to 6.75, you were going to back off? So even though the 10% in there, I think I heard you verbally say that you never intended to execute at that rate.
I wouldn't have recommended executing, or wouldn't have executed it at above 6.5% for sure. And I'm just saying that I think even 6% would be doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay.
That's just my opinion, and I'm not sure we're gonna get there. We've had this on the agenda and planning it, but we've been trying to monitor the market, talking with Stephen, and it's if it doesn't move much quicker, I wouldn't recommend doing it if it's not below 6%. I'd be fine putting 6% in the number down there. And just seeing if that'll happen,
John. And I guess for the staff, I'm seeing a lot of numbers or hands flying around.
Okay.
And signs. Why don't we go ahead and put 6%
okay.
in that and edit that motion for 6% okay. and read the motion.
I'll just read it. I'll read it accordingly with that number.
You have to go to diligence to do that, Nancy.
I'll just read it with if it's okay.
We can go back and edit that for the purposes, okay. but for, yeah,
right.
for this.
But since it's an oral resolution anyway, if I just read it that way, I think that would suffice. This is sort of a lengthy resolution, so if y'all just bear with me.
So you had a chance not to have him read this.
That's right. You could have just been okay too. Okay, well, go ahead. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby adopts resolution authorizing the issuance and sale of Brazos River Authority Water Supply System Revenue Bonds, Series 2008 AMT, and resolving other matters related thereto, the State of Texas Brazos River Authority. Whereas Brazos River Authority, in parentheses, the authority or the issuer, was duly created and is lawfully operating under Chapter 8502, Texas Special District Local Laws Code as amended, parentheses originally enacted under Chapter 13 Acts in the second called session of the 41st Texas Legislature, 1929, as amended and formally compiled as Article 8280-101 VATCS, as amended, in parentheses the Act, all pursuant to and in furtherance of the purposes of Article 16, Section 59 of the Constitution of Texas. And whereas the authority is authorized by the Act and the applicable laws of the State of Texas to exercise the powers therein granted in order to provide for the conservation and development of the surface waters in the Brazos River Basin for beneficial use, and whereas in order to facilitate the conservation and development of the surface waters of the Brazos River, the authority has heretofore established the Brazos River Water Supply System, in parentheses, the system, comprised of various facilities of the authority, and whereas the authority heretofore pledged revenues derived from the system to the security and payment of its water supply system revenue bonds, series 1991, in parentheses, series 1991 bonds, and obligations on a parity therewith, and whereas the bonds hereinafter authorized are to be issued and delivered pursuant to the Act and Chapter 1371 Texas Government Code as amended and other applicable laws for the purposes herein provided. Therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority, Section 1, Recitals, Covenant, Agreements, and Amount and Purpose of the Bonds, the Board of Authority hereby incorporates the recital set forth in the preamble hereto as if set forth in full at this place and further finds and determines that said recitals are true and correct. Additional terms used in this resolution are defined as set forth in the Series 2008 Bond Covenants Agreement, in parentheses, the agreement, substantially in the form presented at this meeting, the terms of which are hereby incorporated herein as if set forth in full at this place. The presiding officer, the assistant presiding officer, the secretary, and the assistant secretary of the board, and the general manager slash CEO are authorized and directed to execute the agreement. The bonds of the authority are hereby authorized to be issued and delivered in the aggregate principal amount of not to exceed $6.8 million for the purpose of providing funds for paying the cost of repairs at D. Cordova Bend Dam on Lake Granbury. Section 2, designation, authorized officer, date, denominations, numbers, maturities, terms, and sale of bonds. Designation, authorized officer. Each bond issued pursuant to this resolution shall be designated Brazos River Authority Water Supply System Revenue Bond, Series 2008 AMT, subject to paragraph C of this section, as authorized by Chapter 1371 Texas Government Code as amended. The general manager slash CEO of the issuer is hereby designated as the authorized officer of the issuer. B, terms of bonds. Initially, there shall be issued, sold, and delivered hereunder fully registered bonds without interest coupons numbered consecutively upward payable to the respective initial registered owners thereof or to the registered assignee or assignees of the bonds or any portion or portions. In each case, the registered owner, in the denomination of $5,000 or any integral multiple thereof, in parentheses, an authorized denomination, maturing not later than 40 years from the date of the bonds, payable serially or otherwise on the dates, in the years and in the principal amounts respectively, and dated as all is set forth in a certificate of the authorized officer. C, sale of bonds. As authorized by Chapter 1371, Texas Government Code as amended, the authorized officer is hereby authorized, appointed, and designated to act on behalf of the board in selling and delivering the bonds and carrying out the other procedures specified in this resolution and the agreement, including determining and fixing the dates of the bonds, any different or additional designation or title by which the bonds shall be known, the price at which the bonds will be sold, the years in which the bonds will mature, the principal amount to mature in each of such years, the aggregate principal amount of the bonds within the maximum amount set forth in Section 1 hereof, the rate of interest to be borne by each such maturity, the principal and interest payment periods and dates, in parentheses, including the dates for making deposits to the interest and sinking fund, close parentheses, the dates, the price, the terms upon and at which the bond shall be subject to redemption prior to maturity at the option of the board, as well as any mandatory sinking fund redemption provisions, procuring municipal bond insurance and approving modifications to this resolution and the agreement and executing such instruments, documents, and agreements as may be necessary with respect thereto, if it is determined that such insurance would be financially desirable and advantageous, and all other matters relating to the issuance, sale, and delivery of the bonds. The authorized officer acting for and on behalf of the issuer is authorized to arrange for the bonds to be sold and negotiate sale to an underwriting syndicate managed by Morgan Keegan and Company, and to enter into and carry out a bond purchase agreement with such underwriters of the bonds at such prices in the aggregate principal amounts not exceeding the maximum amount set forth in Section 1 hereof, and with such maturities of principal, with such interest rates, and with such optional and mandatory sinking fund redemption provisions, if any, and other matters as shall be set forth therein. The bond purchase agreement shall be substantially in such form and substance as presented to the board concurrently with the adoption of this resolution, with such changes that are acceptable to the authorized officer, provided that the price to be paid for the bonds shall be not less than 95% of the initial aggregate principal amount thereof, plus accrued interest thereon from their date to their delivery, and no bond shall bear interest at a rate greater than 6% per annum. The authorized officer is further authorized for and on behalf of the issuer to approve any official statement and any supplements thereto relating to the bonds and referred to in any such bond purchase agreement. It is further provided, however, that notwithstanding the foregoing provisions, the bond shall not be delivered unless prior to their delivery, the bond shall have been rated by a nationally recognized rating agency for municipal long-term obligations as required by said Chapter 1371, Texas Government Code as amended. D, terms. In establishing the aggregate principal amount of the bonds, the authorized officer shall establish an amount within the amount authorized in Section 1 hereof, which amount shall be sufficient to provide inter alia for I, the purposes of paying the cost of repairs to D. Cordova Bend Dam on Lake Granbury, 2I, the funding of the required reserve fund, 3I, the payment of cost of issuance of the bonds. Section 3, immediate effect. This resolution shall be effective immediately from and after its adoption.
Thank you, John. The chair will entertain a motion to adopt.
I move adoption of the resolution as read.
Motion by Director Kilgore, second by Director Sloan. Please poll the board. Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Beer?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Bellon?
Yes.
Director Ball?
Yes.
Director Barr?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Bennett?
No.
Director Brady?
Yes.
Director Breeden?
Aye.
Director Rava?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Moore?
Yes.
Yes.
Director Steinmetz?
Yes.
Director Ward?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.